Jason Smoothie Flagler.
Does he? He's got there.
He's right to the goal line. The referee likes it. He says try to Brisbane.
Cleary gets through. Where's the support? Back on the inside. Leota with the try.
Here we go.
Under the post. The Panthers are in. Cleary on the back of points. Wants a 40-20. Oh, he might have nailed it. Nathan Cleary with an unbelievable play. Cogger first receiver, Cleary second, out the back to Crichton. They might have a chance here. Crichton for the line, he gets a try. That's his fourth try in four grand finals, and Penrith are back in this in a big way.
Hello, I'm Rob London, and would you believe it? What a surprise. We're here again. So, with Europe winning back the Ryder Cup, where are my two 36 handicap podcasters? Firstly, a chap whose scorecard is statistically a combination of birdies and eagles. Yes, welcoming back this old albatross, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello, hiya Rob.
And also, a man that I once saw put his opening tee shot at Lim 100 metres behind him, straight into the club car park. It's Dennis Waywell.
Such a great shot.
Did anyone do algebra at school? I don't know how you managed that, Dennis. Because it went with such force, and it went backwards. But you only swipe through on the club.
Yeah, it's pure swing, wasn't it?
I tell you what, Sam, he comes across from north of the river just once. You know, I take him down to Lim Golf Club, and that's what he did to me. I never went again.
You know what? I had to go. I remember him saying, you have to wear trousers. I didn't own a pair of trousers. And I went to the charity shop at the end of the road and I managed to get, I'm quite tall, and I managed to get a men's short pants. And they were halfway up my shins, so I just made it look like plus
David,
fours.
David Love the Third, wasn't it, or something? Halfway up his shins. I'm pretty sure you wore a cravat as well.
I could well have done, obviously, my go-to, attire.
Well, we're back, boys. We're back.
Yes.
I mean, one of the reasons...
Why are we back?
Well, do you know what? The amount of letters we got after we did the last podcast, people worrying we weren't coming back and people saying they weren't going to be able to get through the winter. I thought, oh, go on then, we'll do one more. So here we are.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Okay.
How long is this one planned?
Not long.
For? It's only going to be
not
short,
long.
Isn't
not
it?
Long. My son's due at robotics in 50 minutes, so school holidays here. So we'll get through this. Although, I think Sam might be caveating later. I've just been in the green room with him. Don't mention the word.
Yes.
Don't mention the word rotten, Dennis, whatever you do. He's got...
I'll
and the minute I said that, then he looked down at his notes. He's clearly got a statement to read out. Look, smile, yeah. Grinning away.
It's a statement, yeah.
Okay, well, should we just kind of crack on then to the Eliminator game?
Yes.
The team that went to Saints was Duffy, Russell, Wrench, Ratchford, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, Cassiano, Walker, Harrison, Curry, Nicholson, and Crowther at 13. Interchange bench was Bullock, Philbin, Matautier, and Clark. The team was missing Wires, two starting props, Vaughan was suspended, and McKaylee with a knee injury. Here's the highlights.
Who do you think?
Makins have now. Makins has got support inside him. Kick through. The chase is on. Percival and Ashton. And Ashton wins the ball.
Boys, you will stop your little game.
Oh, good ball from Bell. Now Knowles is away. He's got Lomax in support. He didn't see him. And Ashton again comes to the rescue.
Hitler, if you think holding.
Here is Zimmerman. Zimmerman bursts through. Inside it goes. And Lewis Dodd finally puts an Herald on the board.
Ready with his gun. So watch out, mister.
With Drinkwater, but that's a penalty. That's a silly penalty to give away by Josh Drinkwater.
Think you've missed the bus, because who do?
With Warrington and Drinkwater, quick hands, and he's through. Coleridge is through. He has support on the inside. He goes on his own, and he scored.
Boys, you will stop your little game.
Roby again, they go the short side, and Lomax for Wellesby. Wellesby offloads, Makinson will score the try.
Something old England done.
Well, a bit of music there to mark the retirement of James Roby at the age of 78. Wishing James all the best in the retirement village. Final score, Saints 16. Even with a pensioner in their side. Warrington, 8. There was one try for Wrench. Conversions, Ratchford nailed one from the touchline. And he also kicked a penalty. Attendance was 13,801. Struggled to find the attendance. Couldn't find it anywhere. Unknown here, unknown there. Ended up going on the Saints website. Wow. That shit's all over ours. My God. Goodness, that's a good website. I think next year we might need to do a little section on websites, club websites, and rank them. Because
I can do that. I can do that from the comfort of my own city.
Just remind me, because I put a little poll out there for suggestions for little sections on the podcast next week. So that could be added onto your list. I've got a couple.
To be sectioned, did you say? Is that what you're going to be?
Yeah. Just did you put a poll out before the match saying what's the chances of Warrington getting a result? I mean, everybody I read about was pretty pessimistic.
There was about
20% crowd there.
20% thought we might win. About 80% said not a chance. So anyway, Sam, did you go?
No, I had a really interesting day. Interesting might be stretching it, but...
Are we going to play the caveat thing now? Oh, no. This sounds like it's going to be a long one.
No, I promised 3 weeks ago that I would decorate my mum's hall stairs and landing in readiness for a new carpet. I mean, and I spent the day listening to the Ryder Cup from about 7 o'clock in the morning, boxing in pipes, painting walls, fixing new lights and handles on cupboards, whilst my mum and stepdad watched the game, and I was sort of looking at it through the doorway whilst listening to Mr. Newsome on BBC Radio.
Yeah. Did the sort of stairwell and stairwork represent anything to do with the game, Sam? Did you sort of put them both together and say it's an uphill struggle here, or are we on the slide?
Good.
I mean, what
very
what
good,
did you
yes,
think?
I like that. Hmm. Yeah, my mum actually said to me, "Are you disappointed you've not gone and you've come here to help me?" And I said, "Actually, Mum, I get the best of both worlds here. I get to see the game, and if it's crap, I can shut the door and carry on with the painting for you."
Why have we done another podcast? It's clearly we've run out of material.
I have no idea. I know, yeah. It's completely out of material. I mean, fortunately, no one is going to listen to this podcast, are they? I mean, everybody's like, fucked off now. Game over. Season over. Mm. That's it. Mm-hmm.
You were hoping that when you asked me, did I go, my answer would just simply be no.
Well, the first thing I can remember about it was the first few minutes. I think my first WhatsApp message. Maybe I'll go through my WhatsApp messages with Dennis. We weren't sure where Sam was, but my first one I think I wrote was something on the lines of Crowther have been outstanding in the first 3 minutes. I think straight away he set the purpose that he wanted to be there and he wanted to get tough and get stuck in. I think he took a couple of carries, but virtually every tackle he was in, he was biting at the ankles or he was trying to get in. So that was.
Are we talking about me on the receiving end of the WhatsApp messages or Crowther now?
What have you got, Dennis? Can you remember the opening minutes?
Well, I do remember the air of pessimism drifting over the first few minutes. But at the same time, it did feel like, I think it was quite all right for those first 3 minutes. But then for the next 20 minutes, it just felt like we were hanging on and hanging on. Mm. You know, and it just seemed like, we didn't look like we had anything to trouble Saints. I think most of it was played in our half, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nicholson did something wrong very early on. Can't remember what it was. But we wrote that was a daft play. So I think he got caught on the fifth tackle with the ball close to their line. Mm. I think that was one of the ones early on. And then the one that kind of stuck out, and I was about to type it to you, Dennis, but you got in there before me, was when, I think this was when Batchelor's hamstring went. Saints broke down the right-hand side.
He did and scored.
And I was just about to text you, Dennis, but you texted me before and you wrote, "Curry's pace on show chasing back." And he was looking at his feet and just 5 years ago.
He just looked really slow, didn't he then? Oh, God. You know, before we get too deep into this, I think one of the other things that was the air of pessimism for me at the beginning was obviously missing Vaughan and McKayley. I think McKayley was a relatively late call, wasn't it, in terms of him not playing. It was a bit of a surprise. Mm. And I think we discussed at length about how we would, match Saints in the forwards. So I think from the outset, it was obvious that, you know, having those two forwards missing just didn't give us any go forward, really, at all. Hence why we were on the back foot hanging on.
Yeah. We did have one forward that made over 100 metres. Saints had 7 players that made over 100 metres. We only had the one. And that was Philbin with 113 metres. If he could catch, he would have got a whole heap more because towards the end he went through a gap and couldn't quite hold on to one. Russell made 97, Wrench 91. The backs were doing all the work. Dufty 89, Ashton 82, Williams 73. Then our next forward, who we've just spoken about, Crowther hits 72 metres. Metautier, I guess, came on in the second row. He did 60. Ratchford 58. Harrison 51, Drinkwater 47, Walker 43, Curry 41, Cassio 38, Bullock 35, Clark 35, and Nicholson only 7 metres. Question, Sam, like, based on that, clearly not, I mean, he's not going looking for the ball, Nicholson, but are we just not throwing the ball to the right that much?
We've highlighted that, particularly you, Rob, you've highlighted the second row 2 or 3 times this season, at least in terms of the number of metres we're making from them. So I can't think, really, that it's... And I'm not saying this because Curry's the other guy. I can't think that it's necessarily a laziness. It must be our style of play. It must be that we're not going that way. Because for him to only actually take the ball 3 times, Nicholson, that's
something he's not right.
He's only received it 3 times. So is it when we play against the good teams? We noticed it against Wigan. We've noticed it against Saints in particular. Maybe they smother us. Maybe their defence is that good that we just don't know how to deal with it and go nowhere. In terms of total metres, for the whole game, Saints made 1,389, Warrington 1,032.
Mm.
Big difference.
Yeah. So what, 30% difference? The striking contrast between their two. And I'm saying that Bell's in the second row because Batchelor went off. So Sirenen and Bell, let's have a look at the comparisons here. Nicholson and Curry are two standout tacklers. Nicholson on 39, yet again top of the tackle charts pretty much every week. Curry was right behind him on 36. Sirenen made 32 tackles, Bell made 25, so clearly not having to quite put as much work in, but not far off. But then the carries, Curry 6 carries, Nicholson 3 carries, just 9 carries between them. Sirenen 14 carries and Bell 21 carries. And when you're putting that work in, it shows in the metres. Curry with 41 metres, Nicholson with just 7. Sirenen 151 metres and Bell 121.
Do you think, though, what was really noticeable and might contribute to some of these skewed numbers was that I thought it was pretty smart, even though I don't think we were good enough to play that game, but it was very obvious kicking early in the tackle count was a way of controlling the game and keeping Saints coming from deep. I mean, there was more or less every 6 that we're kicking on the 4th, even the 3rd tackle for the first 20-odd minutes.
Mm.
And it did have an effect. I think good teams can trust the defence that, you know, they can back that up and obviously do that. I think sometimes we just didn't quite manage it. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I think it must have been a deliberate tactic, not just to try and pin them down, but because don't know what it was like with you down south, Dennis, but it was an awful day. It started raining at about midday, and it just got heavier and heavier and heavier. So whether it was a deliberate play the wet weather, turn them around, try and make them make errors in their own half, didn't quite work.
It did work quite well. I thought it worked quite well. And you know what? That's the sort of thing, that's the difference I think we see from Darryl Powell and what Chambers has done. He's actually thought about it and changed the way we played
tactic
for that particular game. And whereas I think Powell would have been about, no, stick to the process and stick to the structure. And sometimes that just doesn't work. And he was just inadequate. You know, he just couldn't change it, could he? The other thing, Rob, I got a message off you at 29 minutes celebrating Curry's first run with the ball.
Mm. Yeah, I'll come on to that. And I'm just going through the timeline. So 19 minutes, I send you a message. Curry's still not taken the ball up. At that point, Ashton and Russell look black and blue. Why isn't Drinkwater or Williams saying, come on, Nicholson, take a ball up. Come on, Curry, take... Like, they're just not being used. You know, there was, on quite a few occasions, Harrison took the ball up twice and Crowther took the ball up twice. Now, when you're coming off your own line, you can almost throw a net over your forwards. They don't all have to be in a line. You can still have a little bit of broken structure for just beckon them over and say, it's your chance. But neither of them. Farrell at Wigan, he goes looking for it every week in the second row. Give it to me. It's my hit up. So that was a bit bizarre. I did think up to this stage that, I actually wrote, it's our year, I think, about 20 minutes in, because Saints just couldn't seem to score. They dropped the ball a few times over the line. We were under a lot of pressure, but it just wasn't happening. But then the one that really frustrated me was that I think Thaler gave a penalty. And up to that stage, I hadn't really noticed him too much. But there was a penalty for lying on, and he gave another set of six. And straight away I went, well, there's been 20 other occasions in this first 20 minutes, if not more, where he could have blown his whistle and given another set of six and he didn't. It's the inconsistency that you kind of put your head in your hands and you're like, and it doesn't happen in the NRL. The NRL, when there's a lie on and they give another set of six, you can clearly see why the ref's done it. You know, they're on the front foot, they're coming away from the line, and you never sort of question them and go, oh, that was a bit unfair compared to the last one. But our penalties are so higgledy-piggledy, Sam, I think.
Yeah. You know, like
which one he gives and which ones he doesn't. And sometimes, also, there's a narrative of building up to the penalty, which every single play is an individual play. There's no history in a game of rugby league. You shouldn't be going, well, I've given you three warnings, I'm pinging you for the fourth. It's either a fine or it's not. You can see him building up and going, oh, he's going to give one in a sec. And there you go. And this marched them downfield, which led to the try. And it infuriates me. That's what I find.
I know this is going to break the time frame continuum, but the following morning, said parents were round at my house while I fed them. I'd done work for them the day before. Next day, they come bacon, butties and coffee.
Why are they not at their lovely new house with the stairwell and the landing?
Exactly.
So, paint fumes.
But the point being, we had the NRL grand final on. And my stepdad, who's 93, just said, there's no messing around in the tackle in this game, is there?
No.
They just get up, ready to play it. And that really is what you say.
Put the foot on it.
It must be difficult for our guys to referee, but one thing leads to another in some ways, doesn't it? If you really stomped on it early, they'd clean it up.
Well, tackle bag suggestion. I think it was Series 3, Episode 4, putting a microchip in the ball when it goes forward. And there it was, a blatant forward pass out of the front of his hands to Sirenen, and he's through a gap. We all scream forward. Watching it back, I watched it on the BBC, on Channel 4 and also on Sky. I can't remember which one it was. One of them mentioned it ever so briefly. Just.
God.
Now, the other week I sent you a clip of an NRL game where there was a forward pass.
Yes.
It was a Brisbane one. It was Brisbane.
And they kicked off. The commentators kicked off for about 2 minutes about how ridiculous it was and the referees not fit enough. And then they showed it from another angle. They were still kicking off about the forward pass. And then they showed it from a third angle where they basically crucified the referee. I mean, it insults the intelligence. You don't have to say, you know, oh, that was a massive fuck up by the referee like they may be doing in Australia. But at least when everyone at home has seen it, and the whole point of that try was the forward pass, not the try, at least comment on it. At least have us the decency to not think we're all mushrooms and we haven't seen it, for fuck's sake.
It frustrates me when they go, oh, that was flat. What they mean is, that was forward, but they don't think, and maybe it shows a little bit of the fragility of our game, because once again, the decent guys, these referees, but there's not many of them. There's not like a whole raft of them coming through to put pressure on.
You say that, Sam, but there's been an advertisement today for referees
recruiting,
and I've sent you the application form.
What's the age restrictions, so me and Rob, Dennis? What's the, I mean, am I the only one who can apply? Am I the only one who can get in now?
No, no, no. Sam's definitely qualifying for this. And so we're, you know, the podcast is now expecting that Sam will be doing trials in the off-season for refereeing.
I mean, he looks a lot fitter than most of the Super League referees. You've got to give him that. He's in good shape, isn't he? So
The only thing is, it's those glasses, though, that we've got to write him a note for.
Well, cause, yes. Like, you know, yeah. I'll have to wear my contact lenses or else, you know, you can imagine the I'll get enough abuse as it is from the sidelines, never mind if I wore my glasses as well.
Okay. Well, there you have it. I've also written down here Williams on report after that. He did something, can't remember what it was, but I'm saying that Williams is out for the first game of next season, possibly. Or maybe they've just forgotten about that now. I don't know.
I think he it wasn't necessarily a late tackle on the kicker, but he went in with a shoulder and he didn't wrap his arms around. I think that was it.
Well, after the forward pass, I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was Sky went to chat to Gary. And I wrote here, Gary sounds depressed, to which Dennis wrote back, he's looked like that since buying a Renault Clio. So,
yeah, it's hard to tell.
Oh, dear. Well, at half time, it was 8-0. Still thought we were in it. Didn't think Saints were playing particularly well.
Like you still thought we were in it, but what was your little poll that you put out at half time?
Quick poll at half time was just to suggest, did Warrington have 9 points in them, of which 91% said not a fucking chance. Yeah. So and they didn't.
You're really confident.
They didn't have 9 points in the end. dear. Right, come on, Sam. You've got to defend this.
It was at this point, it was at this point I was thinking my message to you a day before could have been very relevant about whether the game stays close depends on who scores first in the second half.
Now,
anyway, let's not listen to Mr. London, because I've just looking at these fucking messages. He put, I'm not sure we've got 9 points in us. I'll power down Hal. In other words, we're not doing any other podcast. So there you go. He wasn't confident at all.
Let's just go back 11 minutes to one WhatsApp message that was sent. Curry takes his first carry on 29 minutes and 49 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's over to the defence. Sam Sankey. Nothing. He's got nothing.
I've got Wi-Fi issues. Just a minute. I'm trying to... Did you say... I can see your mouth moving. I can see your mouth moving. The volume's gone.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Terrible.
Okay. Right. Second half. Well, there he is again. I think Mr. London Senior said he's the only one who can make a break on this team. We talked about his pace. He made a break against Saints a few weeks back. He bombed a try. But this time, he gets through again. Again, Wellsby comes at a beautiful line at him to cut the angle. Again, he's confused. But this time, he just about has enough to get up and get over the line. Connor Wrench is the future, Sam.
Without a shadow of a doubt, the lad has got something. As you said, I think it was more noticeable on the previous Saints game, that little slight step, that little swivel of the hips. Whether it's the all-round game, we remain to be seen, but there's no substitute for that bit of pace off the mark, is there?
Yeah, that's the difference. Matautia and Ratchford. Now, at one point, the commentator on Sky was raving about Ratchford going in and out, in and out, in and out. And I thought, he can go in and out as much as he likes. He's got no pace. If he ever gets in the clear, he's going to be caught in 3 metres. Seemed a bizarre thing to say. Again, it's like, what game are you watching, commentator, that we've known all season he hasn't got any pace? Yes, he can jig in and out, but please don't say that he's, going to go the length. Oh, dear. So there we have it. Again, though, he's kicking. He's just absolutely nailing the kicks, isn't he? He's coming towards the end of his career and just bangs them over.
And the commentator actually used my stat that I brought up. He must have listened to our podcast, didn't he? To say 26 in a row, and that was 27.
Very good. Very good. Thing is, we've got a few other kickers in the team, haven't we? that can go through gaps, or we could bring in that will make up a lot more points than kicking every goal. But anyway, there we have it.
Sorry, Robbie, but I just interrupt you for just 1 second. I've been spending the last 3 minutes scrolling around because I thought I'd seen something about a ban. Yes, George Williams was given a one-match ban.
Oh, there you go. So can he use that in the friendly next season when we play Runcorn
Highfield?
He can
use it in the England internationals.
Oh, can he? Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yes.
That's good.
Can Vaughan do that? Do it, can't we?
If he can find an English parent, grandparent quickly, yes.
Yes, that's a good idea. Now, maybe that's something you could do, Sam. Make a note.
Going to move ahead a little bit here, but I want to kind of move ahead to them reiterate a point. Gary Chambers post-match, he says, there was plenty of effort, but you cannot do some of the things we did in these kinds of games and expect to get a result. It was the finer details of the whole thing. To win these kind of games, you've just got to get a little bit more clinical. It was a game I expected us to go out and win, and we did compete, but we just came up a little bit short. Now, I think a big pat on the back for Gary Chambers, who's come in and done a wonderful job. He's an absolute ambassador to the club. He's primrose and blue through and through. He gave his heart and soul when he played on the field. He wasn't perhaps the biggest forward in the world, but a little bit like Crowther. Boy, he ran his weight. And 1 year, just before he was struck down by injury, I think he was the best prop in the British game for about 6 or 7 weeks leading up to that injury. And I do agree with him that he's got them playing with effort. Like the turnaround is striking in comparison to the last few days of Daryl Powell. But I don't think we can be clinical with this team. I don't think this team has clinical in them. I just don't think they've got the talent, the way that they're put together at the moment, that's all of a sudden going to make 30 points every week. You know, when we had Breers and Hodgson in the team and Westwood, etc. You expected Warrington to nail 30 points, but they were clinical and they had effort. This lot have got effort, but it's going to take some signings to bring the clinical stage of this process into play, I think. Is that fair?
No. Well, I would just maybe think about, don't forget the beginning of the season. We were scoring shitloads of points with this team.
But we were kind of like, I think a lot of the teams hadn't quite hit their stride. And you can get away with the basics in Super League most weeks at home. I mean, I think we mentioned about having a big pack at home, doing the right thing. George Williams still had two legs. He's clearly running around on one leg for the past month. Drinkwater was doing what he's done at every club he's been to, and he shows up for the first 20% of his career at each club and then disappears. Just all the moons aligned early on.
But there's also, and we touched on this last week when I brought up about, like, you know, if you're going to carry a weak player, what position would you put him in? And I think with the corresponding players on each side of the pitch, like the centres and the wingers, if you had like one of them that was capable and clinical and actually, you know, could develop something, then I think that does give you options. And like, you know, you end up with options all over the pitch. But the mere fact that we've had two centres that don't really offer that is disastrous, because you've got a missing link on either side of the pitch. So maybe, you know, although Daryl did say he came out and he's got the balance of the side, maybe I don't think we had the balance from day one.
No. I mean, Ratchford, I think, at Huddersfield at the start of the year, drew a man beautifully and put someone away. And he's got it up top still, but as the season went on, it kind of became evident that we just weren't creating enough in the centres. And Metautier, again in this game, came on and I think he gave... Did he drop the ball twice?
Just within a 10-minute period, and it really just took the fucking wind out of the sails.
Another forward pass, though, for Saints' second try. Sort of a netball pass, pushed it from his chest. Again forward, nothing said. Let Tommy Makinson in the corner. Tommy Makinson's wonderful. What about the forward pass, Sky? What about the forward pass, Channel 4? They wonder.
I think if you don't put pressure on, and actually, you know, like in Australia, you never get high standards. I mean, if no one's ever going to question it and have it as like a talking point, you've got no means to improve, have you? What's the point?
It really, it sort of diminishes the game. It just makes everyone feel a little bit, oh, God, Super League. Just report. Don't you think
Sam's not saying anything?
Just report it.
You know why? Sam's not saying anything because he's going on trial soon for the new rugby referee.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
I'm just trying to... Well, first of all, I'm quite enjoying listening to you two for a change, which is unusual.
Have you moved, Dennis? Where is Dennis at the moment? He seems to be...
I'm in the attic because Mrs. Waywell's cooking Christmas cakes.
Is she?
Is she putting glacé cherries in there? What's
there
a
girl? There are, actually.
Are there?
Yeah.
Do you know...
There's shitloads in it.
Mrs. London, and they're not really into, you know, savoury cakes in Australia. They don't really do it, you know. And the move away from a roast dinner when it's 38 degrees on Christmas Day. I can understand. So it's more seafood these days that we have. But she does make a Christmas cake for me.
Yes.
And a few years ago, Christmas cake arrived. I'm like, oh, this is... What's it missing? No marzipan? No layer of marzipan.
Oh, shit.
I said, what's going on here? She goes, Mum doesn't like marzipan. I said, she's only coming for a day. She's only coming for a few hours. I've got the whole of winter to get through. My winter of discontent, and there's no marzipan.
You need to start fattening up, don't you, over the off-season, don't you?
I've lost a bit of weight, I have to say. It's all skin and bones at the moment.
Can I ask a serious question here about Christmas cake? Do we like nuts in it or nuts? I'm very much on the fence with nuts in a Christmas cake. I've got a superb Nigel Slater recipe for a Christmas cake, and some years I make it with nuts.
Get rid of your Nigel Slater book.
Living in
the old days. Is it called Grey? Is that the title on the front of the book? Grey by Nigel Slater.
Beige.
It is quite a beige book.
Where were we? What were we on about? Oh, that was it. We were wanking on about Sky and Channel 4. Jeepers. Okay.
Feel out the kitchen diaries.
Well, my final message on WhatsApp was, well, there it is. Thank fuck for that. The pain is finally over. Another shambolic season on and off the field from the team known as the Warrington Wolves. Dennis wrote back, yes, thank you and good night. And at that point, we didn't think there was going to be another podcast until I woke up quite bright and early on the Sunday morning and wrote, I've written a quick script for Tuesday. Are you in? And I got two thumbs up. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Now, we opened up the lines in terms of where it's all gone wrong in 2023. And we're currently, they're still coming in. We've had 49 DMs. Basically going on about, I can't read them. I mean, they're all so long. They're all well thought out,
quite a lot of them, aren't they?
God love them. They've all put a lot of effort into it. The only way I can kind of summarise them all, if we kind of collectively put them all together, is
Can I make a suggestion? Can you, at the end of this podcast, just put them all into Hal and get them to read them out for about half an hour, an hour?
Oh, gee. I think Hal's beside himself. Driving around Sydney today, I was listening to the Guardian Football podcast and the topic of Manchester United came up. And I thought there was a few similarities between what they had to say on the Guardian and possibly the Warrington Wolves. Here's the clip.
Quite unpopular here and agree with Gary Neville. In the sense that his whole narrative for a long while now is that this is about ownership. And whilst I've been having endless arguments with friends of mine at Support United that are saying it's the players, it's that, you know, you can't link the ownership with selections of teams and substitutions and tactics. That's Rashford, that's down to Ten Hag, that's Fernandes. Look, they're not performing well as individuals and they should be held accountable and scrutinised for their poor performances, for sure. But the reason why I blame this mainly on the ownership is because it's that word we hear in football a lot now, it's culture. And if I look at it like any other business, if in any other business at the top, the culture is rotten, it's going to seep down. Now, look at a shop. If you look at a shop, for example, or a business on the high street, if the people that don't run that and own that shop don't care about that shop, it's only a matter of time before the people that work on the shop floor are working in an environment where they're not going to work to their best. And I just think that it's really, really, I know people kind of batter him for constantly going on about the ownership, but for me, that is where it starts. Nothing's going to change until that changes. You can change managers. They've done that. It's the same problem. They've bought good players. They've all turned to shit. So at some point, you have to look at the fact that this rotting from the top. And I think that all the fans that keep saying, no, I listen to where we work on TalkSport Max, to people talk about, it's the players. The players are not performing well, but they're not performing well for a reason. And the reason is they're in an environment where the culture is rubbish, and that is set from the top. So for me, this defeat at Crystal Palace, as I mentioned earlier on, it wasn't a surprise. The players are not performing to their best because they're in an environment where they don't have to. And that for me is, I put the blame of that at the ownership.
But that's 100% right. It's not even a stretch. It's direct cause and effect. Absolutely. I find it really extraordinary. You'd say that, well, who hires the people who hire the people who hire
exactly.
the people?
Exactly.
Every layer is, there are kind of comfortable placemen who are not complaining. And I mean, Ralph Rangnick is kind of become inadvertently a kind of comedy figure, but he...
He's become a great prophet.
Yeah, he didn't like what was going on.
He's a great prophet in saying, hang on, what's wrong is this? And he absolutely listed all the problems and it was proved correct.
Yeah, and he's out the door.
Well, I mean, that clip kind of summarises these 49 letters that have come in. There's not one of the letters that's come in has questioned Daryl Powell. There's a few that have said the boys have stopped playing for him. There was some kind of kerfuffle with the club, not sending a representative to Maguire's second hearing and the players all down tools. That's come through on quite a few of the letters that's come through. I don't know how substantiated that rumour is. But that everyone seems to be throwing the board and our CEO under the bus, Sam. Possibly not rotten to the cause. I think we should say that straight away. They're not rotten to the cause. But apart from the rotten to the cause bit, Sam, have you got anything else to add?
Well, yes, I'm really glad you said that, because when you sent me that clip, I thought, I know why you've picked up on similarities, but the difference between our owners and the people who run the club and Manchester United, I think, is quite stark. I think before we start criticising what our perception is, I think we must say that, or at least I'm going to say, that I have absolutely no doubt about the integrity and whether the hearts are in the right place of the owners.
Yeah, they're not American business owners. You've got correct. Simon Moran standing behind the sticks, clapping away.
Correct.
Looking in every direction.
So now we've got that out the way, I'm quite happy to join in this conversation, because I wasn't so keen when you sent that clip through.
Do you think it has a lot to do with Rashford? Do you think that's what it is?
You mean setting the tone as the captain?
No, Marcus Rashford at Manchester United, if you think that that's...
Jeez, well done.
Right, oh, yes, there. Very good. Very good. Very good. I think...
Oh, dear.
Is that the only reason we're doing this podcast? Did you write that the other day?
Well, look,
I'm going to do a podcast around that line.
I think Sam summarised it perfectly. Our lot do care, which then makes me worry. Is it incompetence? You can care but be incompetent. Is that the problem?
No. I've done a bit of thinking about this since you sent the clip through. And possibly the difference between... What sportsmen sometimes talk about is the difference between good and great. And the difference between good and great is often just those small little bits. Part of it, which you've said earlier, Dennis, about referees, or maybe you didn't quite say this, but is accountability. You know, if you're not quite performing, perhaps our guys are satisfied with making the playoffs. Now, of course, they want to win. I'm not saying they don't want to win. I'm not saying they don't want to win Super League. I'm not saying that. But perhaps the difference with maybe Sean Edwards. When you think about Sean Edwards, if Sean Edwards got knocked out at the semi-final stage, I bet he was bloody murder to live with for the next 3 weeks, kicking the cat, saying that's never going to happen, and getting quite angry. How am I going to make sure
there's
this
no
happens?
Cats harmed in that statement?
Does he have a cat? Do you know? Can you back that up, Sam? Does he have a cat?
No, I'm just metaphorically speaking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
But I wonder whether our guys are disappointed and upset, but then get over it. And maybe that's the difference between the ruthlessness of being good and being top four, top five people and being the outstanding winners that people like Shane Warne and stuff like that. Maybe just that little bit.
There's a real comfort blanket at Warrington, isn't there? Because there's no strength in depth. I mean, you sent through this yesterday, Sam, about appearances. And yes. I think at least three out of these four players at some point should be dropped based on their performances. But they play the whole season. So four players played 30 games. Duffy, Ratchford, Curry and Walker. I think Walker's given his own. Duffy had a sulk in one game where he just didn't bother at the back. Yeah. NRLE's dropped for that. And Ratchford and Curry, there'll be pressure from youth coming through to be dropped. But we just don't have that. We're such, you know, the squad has been just stripped back. A bit like my waistline, it's just absolutely taut with the lack of anything.
I just want to go back to this similarity with the Man United thing, because I sent you a WhatsApp message before, and I've been thinking about it with the incoming Sam Burgess as well. The culture thing still is an issue. It was an issue last year, and they wanted Powell, or the year before, God, it's all that time passed, and they wanted their Powell to come in and sort it out. Well, obviously it didn't get sorted out, and a whole clusterfucker this year and what happened. So that issue still exists. And my point is that I think, as we've discussed before, that lies with all this leadership team at Warrington Wolves who's in charge and things like that. And I know they've appointed Gary Chambers to take on some of the responsibilities but I think it's just going to dilute the issues that still exist. And I think, you know, it's not going to solve any of the problems. And I think we're just going to be in the same position this year.
Can I ask what we think the culture issue is? Because we've heard this soundbite over many years. And years ago, you used to see them dancing on tables in the mulberry tree. And if someone said a culture issue, you'd say, yeah, they're out on the piss on a Friday night after a game. I don't see these players out on the piss around town, maybe going for a coffee with the mates and getting their hair cut.
No.
But I don't see them out.
But the workplace has changed, hasn't it, in the past sort of 5 years? Yeah. And now people have got more of, more rights and, they've got more of opinions and things like that. Now, I'm not going to say whether this is right or wrong, but certainly a strong leadership would have control of that. They get in front of the cameras, they get in front of the story, and they deal with it face on and head on. They don't go, you know, shying away when things are bad and then popping out with an earring when we win a few matches.
For the one listener still listening to this, thank you for still tuning in. Thank you.
So, carry on. I think it goes down to just like having a strong leadership and a very simple structure that doesn't have all these people with the fingers in the pies. That's basically what I think.
Out of all these letters that came in, there was two that stood out for me. So I'm going to read the two that stood out and maybe get your opinion on the first one, Sam. The first one comes in from a gentleman we've never heard of before. His name's Lord Melbury of Busey.
Oh, God.
He's written in, he says, I have recently started to masturbate while fantasising about Jeanette Cranky. My problem is I cannot work out whether I'm gay, straight, or a paedophile. Sam, can you give anything on?
Oh, God.
And the second
this
one
is where that strong leadership comes in, Sam. You should be up now answering that question.
Who's our leader who's Goose reading that bloody thing out?
And the second one comes in from Cliff Utree of Tarpley. He says, I noted on Sky Sports the other week our CEO, Mr. Fitzpatrick, mouthing obscenities live on the telly. May I suggest a post-it note stuck below Carl's nose would be an ideal deterrent for lip readers? So if you could maybe just pop that on his face next time you're there, Sam, it'd be excellent.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I like the letters section when they come. I wish more people had actually write in, because this week I was on the bloody Warrington Guardian website, and the amount of ads that pop up now, they're just everywhere. I've actually started to get my dad to send me the tangible copy of the Warrington Guardian because I enjoy it. And honestly, I sit down every week with a proper paper and a cup of tea and a shortbread biscuit. But it's not any shortbread biscuit. It's a Barber's Orkney shortbread. Why, with its sweet oaty taste and its crumbly centre, it's the shortbread biscuit for me. And you too can get 10% off by jumping on their website, www.barbarasbiscuits.co.uk, and quoting the discount code ROBLONDON. I'll just repeat that, www.barbarasbiscuits.co.uk, and quote the discount code ROBLONDON.
And in a month, you can be a fat bastard like Rob London.
Just like Rob London.
So people have been writing in with suggestions for sections next year, which I've made a note of. Obviously, because I was asking for mine, and it's funny you've just mentioned it. So
watching that cranky
the new tackle. No, not that one. The tackle bags are rebadging next year. We'll be, I mean, still working on the title. I've got tackle bollocks was the suggestion by the listener. And I'll basically engage with fans' comments and sort of give the feeling every week on the podcast of where we are with some of the comments and read some of the comments out.
Oh, good.
Online. So... That's a good tackle bags thing for next year. For you guys, oh, go on, Sam.
I was just going to ask, what comments did you get when you went on the website and put a second difference for the first try scorer to everyone's actual guesses? What comments did you get back on that one?
I know. I'm what you're doing now. So Sky Sports or Betfred have put a thing out saying guess the try and the minute for like the match that was on. I think it was OKR. So I basically went down the list of everybody's suggestions and just actually entered a second either side. So everyone's entry was just for the 1 second across the 80 minutes, and I had everything else. Nobody picked up on it, actually, Sam.
Did they?
That could be another little thing I've done. So you guys have had a few suggestions. We've got Rob's Coffee Morning. And he could read out what tweet or message really upset him that week.
Oh, I like that.
Because, you know, we mainly from you two. Send Rob. Yeah, we make sure we always keep you abreast of the news or the good news that you like to enjoy. Sam's obviously got Sankey's caveat of the week. I think you might as well just make it a formality now, being that it's already done that. We've also got London's Burning. It's basically Rob's question of the week, his burning question of the week, because he always has something and then he forgets about it when we record the podcast. So I think it's a good idea for you to actually, you know, burning question, Rob. Another one, we've got Sam on Sam, a statistical analysis of post-match analysis from Sam Burgess next year.
I like that one.
I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah, good. You need some material because you've done fuck all tonight.
Will that be running for the entire year next season, or for about the first 10 games?
Yeah. Oh well, yes, that's a good call, isn't it? That's a good call. Hopefully we'll get another Sam. If he's
When's Gary coming back? When does he take up the reins again? How does that work? Will he be back again for another stint?
June.
Could be. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. We've got another one. We've got Ben Thaler's Bunker, and this is where Rob does a 30-second soundbite of the best video ref of the week. So I think that's something that you could slot in there.
I mean, we're struggling for sitcoms next year. What about Mr. Ben? I could have Ben Thaler, like, you know, like Mr. Ben, and he got dressed.
I think I did come up with one, but I've completely forgot it.
Sorry.
No. And another one. Oh, it's this one. A bit edgy, this one, Sam. It's Sankey's Country Walks. Because it's hyphenated, the country.
Oh, dear. Right, up my alley.
Country Talks. Sorry.
That's fine. Other elimination result. Hull KR 20, Lee 6. It leaves the semi-finals. Catalans versus Saints and Wigan versus Hull KR. Although you've pointed out this morning, Sam, that the BBC are already running with the final on their fixture predictions on their website, which is what? Catalans versus Wigan.
That's what they've said. Right. On the 14th, kick-off 6 o'clock. On the 14th of October, the BBC website says, although it does say elimination final.
Right, so they've gone back in time.
Yeah.
Ah, dear. Very quickly, who's going to win the grand final? Sam.
Wigan.
Dennis.
Catalan.
Oh. Hull KR.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Geordie Crowther, I've changed his name from Jordan because he's now goes by Geordie Crowther, has signed a 2-year contract extension with Warrington. The forward only arrived at the Halliwell Jones from Wakefield Trinity in July and was expected to play for Castleford as of next season. Crowther said about Wire, "Since I've been here, I've probably had the most enjoyable time of my career." I mean, if we're looking for positives this year, boys, that is one, isn't it? Geordie Crowther.
Mm. Well, yeah. If he's found a positive in playing for Warrington over the last 7 weeks, he must have had a shit career.
Yeah. How shit is it at Castleford?
Oh, dear.
No, I think
it's great.
Rob, I think on the assumption he won't be on huge money, I think he's one of those types of players that Dennis has mentioned 2 or 3 times. A lot of effort. You can rely on him. He'll cover loose forward. He'll cover Curry. He'll cover Nicholson. He might even warrant a starting place with effort and enthusiasm alone. So,
can we not do something with him like what Wigan did with Billy McGinty? He played for us and then all of a sudden he went to Wigan and he was like 4 stone bigger. Can we not do something like that?
If you were looking at a couple of the players in the squad this year, who would you like to put on a bit of weight? I've been thinking about this quite a lot and I think there is a couple of players.
Probably Geordie Crowther and Jeanette Cranky. So, I mean, Leon Hayes. I think that's who I'd like to.
Yeah. No, I think I'm thinking weight, not height.
Yeah.
No,
Connor Wrench. I think Connor Wrench should be good.
Well, I agree with you, Dennis.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah, I agree with you. If Connor Wrench can take the step forward that Matty Ashton seemed to take.
Not the step sideways, like
with his physique, and his his strength, that could make all the difference. Because he's not a huge guy, is he, Connor Wrench? He's 6 foot. Mm. He's not small, but he's not huge.
I think that is the best way to describe it. It's what Matty Ashton did because it was really noticeable, and it just changed him as a player. I think, and I think, if he did that, and I think Thewlis is a thing. So I bought an awning for the camper van. And it's a Swedish manufacturer called what I thought was a Thule. It's spelled T-H-U-L-E. And I was going around Germany trying to buy this bloody thing and they didn't have a clue what I was trying to say because it's actually pronounced Thule. So does that mean that Thewlis should be Thewlis?
Thewlis.
In the future for next
year. I can say Thewlis.
Yeah,
I can say that.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think we've cracked it.
The Penrith Panthers have won their third.
He's worried about editing already, Sam.
Not editing. We've done I'm out for lunch today. I've got a nice lunch on Sydney Harbour at 12 o'clock, so this isn't getting edited. The Penrith Panthers have won their third NRL Grand Final on the trot, trailing Leabria's Brisbane Broncos 24-8 with only 20 minutes to go. The Panthers, led by their brilliant halfback Ivan Cleary, scored 18 unanswered points to win the game 24-26. We played the highlights at the start of this podcast just to wake everyone up. Wow. Has anyone heard of the word anyone heard of the word contrast?
No, it's no, well, it is good. We can criticise our game over here, but I would rather just sit back and enjoy and praise the best rugby in the best rugby in the world, rugby league or rugby union, the best rugby in the world at the moment is the top four or five teams in the NRL, and them two just served up an absolutely outstanding spectacle from start to finish.
I watched the first sort of 30 minutes, but then there was pressure in the family to we downloaded Strictly, so I turned over to that. And what worries me the most is Annabelle Croft. I think there's potential there, but she just needs to sort of just relax a bit and really go with the flow. I can't see her being any good at the salsa, Sam. I think now, Foxtrot, possibly, yes.
Ballroom, yes.
But yeah. American Tango, possibly. But anything that's got any kind of fluidity from the hips, Annabelle's not the girl for me to win.
Can I ask, with you being sort of in the top rankings in Cheshire as a tennis player when you were young, did you ever play with Annabelle?
Never played Annabelle Croft. I did play Mark Petchy, who was ranked number one. And at the time, Tin Henman was number two. Henman was number two. I lost 6-2, 6-2 to Mark Petchy, who was the number one in England at the time. But may I add, that actually broken my wrist playing rugby league. On the field with you, Sam, if I remember rightly.
Yes, was that Bishop?
Yes, it was, yeah. It ran over the top of me, I went back on my wrist. So, admittedly, it wasn't the hand I held the racket with, but I was struggling to throw the ball up. And I said to Mark Petchy at the time, he said, "Oh, what's wrong with your wrist?" I said, "I broke it playing rugby league." He nearly vomited into his hand.
Wanking too much.
He was from down...
I think our north of the river friend has just lost him.
Yeah, I've just had a message off the only listener. He said, is there a rope nearby that I can send him?
Is it him? How good is the tuck and pass? Like, the games play totally differently over here at times. Like, they all grow up playing touch footy. They're all comfortable on the ball. You know, quite a lot of the time, the play breaks down. And they just throw it back inside and they kind of draw a man and throw it again and throw it again. And I remember when I moved over to Oz, I went to watch Manly play, and the team was kind of like Ian Roberts, who else was in the team, Cliffy Lyons, Des Hasler, etc. And straight away the thing that struck me was just how they kept the ball alive and just calmly kept the ball alive, you know, not like props running onto the ball like Philbin at 100 miles an hour and dropping it. It's just they're just good at what they do. They're the top of their game. Different. And Ivan Cleary, now there's a scrum half that wants to get hold of the ball, isn't there? Like, he just can't. And the amount of times he gets it and the play might be going left.
Isn't that the coach, Sam?
Or it might be going, is that the coach?
Ivan.
What's the
scrum? Ivan's his dad. Nathan's the player.
Oh, sorry. I said the brilliant halfback Ivan Cleary. I do apologise.
Yeah, right, that's it.
We're stopping the podcast. We're never doing a podcast ever again. That's it. Nathan Cleary just steps back off his foot, doesn't he? Just comes back inside.
Yeah. I mean, he's a brilliant player, but I believe dad and son can occasionally be a bit nobbish, I believe. Would that be fair?
Steady.
It's the last podcast and it comes out with a word like nobbish. We've just mentioned Annabelle Croft, a lady of some significance, and now he's saying nobbish.
Yes, because you read that Lord Melby letter, isn't it?
He's thinking about Cranky, isn't he? Dirty bastard. Dennis, did you well, you did watch the inaugural grand final, but you had a bit of a temporary fault that came up, didn't you, towards the end of the game?
Oh, that was fucking ridiculous. I wasn't the only one who noticed, everybody. I mean, just going on the back of what you two have just said, at the end of the day, I don't even think I could even contrast, because I just wouldn't know where you start. And I, like Sam says, actually, I wouldn't want to start. I just enjoyed the fact that it was just an amazing game. Until the, the last 3 minutes when Sky cut the feed.
Had you seen the winning try at that point?
Just about.
Right.
Yeah, but it was a close call. And if it would have gone 30 seconds earlier, that would have been a travesty, because obviously, you know, the tension was building with the minutes to go. Oh, God. God knows what went on.
Could we sign that centre that plays left centre for Penrith? Any chance of getting hold of him?
Swap for Ratchford.
Gee. God almighty, no one's getting in his way, are they? My goodness.
No.
And that prop that plays for Brisbane.
Payne Haas.
He reminds me very much of... who's that lad that plays... Is it... what was his name? Rock Hudson. No, not Rock Hudson. Who's that? No, I can't think of his name. Anyway, never mind.
Rock Hudson. Jesus.
Rock Hudson.
Gil Dudson.
Sorry. Oh, him.
Got off.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Well, it started with 8 wins on the trot before the sacking of a foul-mouthed Australian, a homesick departure from the bungalow, and the removal of Darryl. But it ended with a committed team under the guidance of a maths teacher, and next year, Samuel arrives. Will 2024 be Wire's year? Very reluctantly, here's Hal.
Hello, it's Hal. Look, for fuck's sake, I haven't got time for this. I'm currently in Silicon Valley with a couple of VIC-20s balanced on my hard drive. And half of Columbia sniffed up my USB port. Anyway, if I must. Here's my prediction for 2024. Warrington to finish the regular season, in fourth place. And, will it be Wire's year? Don't be utterly ridiculous. There's only a 4.07% chance of them winning Super League. Okay, this is definitely me signing off for good now. By the way, does anyone know how to remove a nasty virus that's blistering on a graphical processing unit? Just asking for a friend. He's riddled.
Well, fourth in the regular season. And only a 4.07 chance of winning Super League. Now, this is from a computer that never gets it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we thinking, Sam? Are you going fourth as well? Are you seeing us as high as fourth?
I think we can be. I think we can be. I think we... I mean, you've got to say so much of it depends on the gamble of Samuel. But in terms of players in a squad, I think we'll be a little bit better next year. It's a shame Darryl Clark has gone, but the other players that are leaving, I feel the players coming in a bit better. And there were 3 standout teams this year, and then we were in with the others. So we can be the best of the rest. We could have been this year, we weren't. Can we be next year?
Are you giving
yes,
me a position?
I'm saying fourth.
I like it. Are you going to announce this like in Tony Green? Because like that's the gamble. That's you're going to be a little phrase, isn't it? Next
in year. One, no strings attached. It's a cordless drill.
is this all ITV? Because we couldn't get that south of the river.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, fuck off.
Into Beatles Wash Day Blues with this tumble dryer.
Fourth.
He's running with his section, isn't he?
Come on, Mr. Way. Well.
Well, I've been giving this a lot of thought because this is the question that everybody's been hanging on this podcast for, isn't it? We're down to half a listener now. It's just choking on the rope. I think that this basically is a repeat of the Steve Price era.
Oh, fucking hell.
Ooh. Five tries and a kick.
I think what we're going to see... exactly. I think we're going to see that there's going to be games where he's going to be able to lift the team and they're going to be able to win a couple of the big matches against the big teams. I don't see there being consistency. I think I paid attention to what Shane Warne said to that fan on YouTube or whatever, saying like, you know, well, actually there's a bit more to it, this coaching, like, you know, the step up. And I think Sam's going to have this, he's going to be able to motivate players in the short term and get them up for certain times of year. But when times are hard or, you know, people are turned off, I wonder whether he's got the skills to cope with that. So I think we'll do well in certain sections of the league. I do think fourth is achievable with that, but I don't think there'll be any consistency. And going on to win the trophy, I think we'll be back to square one. I think we're just a bit of a bottler team when it comes to that. About you, Rob?
Well, look, I think when she's wearing the school uniform, I would say paedophile.
No. The fourth place finish.
Oh, right.
We're talking about now. Yeah.
I can't see us above fourth. I don't think it really matters who's in charge at the club and who's the coach. Can't get that high without a scrum half. We haven't got a scrum half. And since I've seen Nathan Cleary play, it reminded me of all those wonderful scrum halves we've had at Warrington over the years. Keith Holden, Andy Gregory, Greg Mackey. All these ones that have just taken the bull by the horns. I just don't think we have a scrum half at the club at the moment.
Matt Rodwell.
Matt Rodwell. I mean, the list goes on, doesn't it? So, no, I feel that this year, we started the year off by saying we couldn't win Super League because we had no centres. And this year, or next year, I'll say we can't win Super League because we don't have a scrum half. So I'm saying no higher than fifth. And there's Buckley's chance of us getting to a Super League grand final. Yeah. Okay. This is almost certainly...
hold on. That's turned everybody off for next year, hasn't it?
What a happy end. It sort of sums up the season, that, doesn't it?
Should we record a slightly different version and then see what the numbers
could
look like
we possibly
week?
Get Jeanette Cranky to play scrum half? Because she's an irritable little shit, isn't she? I mean, that's the kind of what you want out there. Right. We will definitely not be back ever again. This is almost certainly the last ever podcast. So, for the very last time, until next year, it's a goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
A so long forever, until he comes back again from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
I'm Rob London, crucified for my opinions, but just like a modern day Jesus Christ, your Messiah will rise again. You've been listening to What? With Brian Bevanson. Was that last bit a bit self-centred?
What a way to end.